Hare Krishna, welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Holiness Bhakti Anugraha Swami Janardhan Swami Maharaj on the call to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, 14th Chapter, 6th Sloka. Before handing over the call to Maharaj, I would like to ask Induleka Karuna Mataji to give brief introduction about Maharaj. Mataji, please take over.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Thank you all for joining us today. This is a brief introduction on Maharaj. His Holiness Bhakti Anugraha Janardhan Swami Maharaj was born in the Philippines. Maharaj is a senior disciple of His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, and he joined ISKCON in the year 1984 in Toronto, Canada. When Maharaj was 14 years old, he started to get curious about spirituality. And that's when he came in touch with Srila Prabhupada's books. When Maharaj got more and more interested in Prabhupada's books, he insisted his mother to get him the Bhagavad Gita. However, he was not able to receive the Gita at that time by mail due to some reasons. But when he moved to Canada in 1980, he could successfully get his first Bhagavad Gita by mail from Los Angeles. When Maharaj was in Toronto in 1984, he visited a temple and never left ISKCON after that. He started to live in the temple on rent rather than staying outside, and that's how Maharaj got involved in temple services. His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj has recommended making Maharaj a member of the Vrindavan Executive Board. And so Maharaj has been serving as the Vice President in Vrindavan, India for more than 12 years. Maharaj is an excellent Kirtaniya. He travels with His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj all over the world to preach Krishna consciousness, and specially has been preaching in Delhi, Vrindavan and the Philippines. Thank you all. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. Please take over.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Maharaj has joined, Mataji. We can give him a moment. He's connected.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much, Maharaj, for giving your very valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, 14th Chapter, 6th Sloka. Please take over the call, Maharaj. I would like to ask devotees to please switch on their videos. Maharaj would like to see everyone.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, can you hear me all?
Yes, Maharaj.
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay. Just give me 2 minutes. I was in a meeting with one of our main managers here. Set up just 1 minute. Everyone is this morning now in North Carolina, right?
Yes, Maharaj.
Now it's 10 to 5 in the evening here. Hare Krishna. Just 1 second. 5:16? Is that correct? 5:16? Or 5:14, sorry.
5:14,
6.
Yes, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Hare, Hare. And spirit. Hare, okay. Ready. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giridharadhari Yasoda Nandanam Vraja Janaranjana Yasoda Nandanam Vraja Janaranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari.
Hey, Agrava, GKG.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari Yasoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Yasoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Radha Madhava Radhe Jai Radha Gopinata Radha Gopinata Radhe Jaya Radha Shama Sundara Radha Shama Sundara Sirate Jai Krishna Balaram Krishna Balaram Krishna Balaram Krishna Balaram Jai Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Jaya Prabhupad, 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 Jaya Prabhupad. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srimati Gopal Krishna Goswami Thamine Prabhupada Sasai Chumya Prakasa Vithirasa Vacharam Kirvan Sadhu Bhagavate Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paschacha desatarine. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshoram Militam Jnanam Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakambitam Sya He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Visabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpadarubhyasya Kipasindhuvya Evacha Patitanam Pabanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivashadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So we continue reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 14, The Creative Impetus, and text number 6. This chapter is about the material world as a forest of enjoyment. Yes. Tatra cha kvachit athopadakani bhan visayam upadabati panabhojan vyabhayadhi vyasana lulupa Tatra chakvachit atapaduko nibham visvyayam padvati panabhojan vyabhayadhi vyasana lulupa Tatra chakvachit atapaduko nibham visvyayam padvati panabhojan vyabhayadhi vyasana lulupa Synonyms, word for word meaning, tatra, there in this phantom place, cha, also, kvachit, sometimes, atapa udaka nibhan, like the water in a mirage in the desert, visayan, the objects of sense enjoyment, Upadabhati runs after Pana to drinking Bhojana to eating Vyavaya to sex life Adi and so on Vyasana with addiction Lolupa a debauchee Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sometimes in this house, in the sky, Gandharvapura, the conditioned soul drinks, eats, and has sex, being overly attached. He chases after the objects of the senses just as a deer chases a mirage in the desert. Again, the translation. Sometimes in this house, in this sky, Gandharvapura, the conditioned soul drinks, eats, and has sex. Being overly attached, he chases after the objects of the senses, just as a deer chases a mirage in the desert. Purport. There are two worlds, the spiritual and the material. The material world is false like a mirage in the desert. In the desert, animal thinks or think they see water, but actually there is none. Similarly, those who are animalistic try to find peace within the desert of material life. It is repeatedly said in different sastras that there is no pleasure in this material world. Furthermore, even if we agree to live without pleasure, we are not allowed to do so. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that the material world is not only full of miseries, dukalayam asashvatam, but also temporary, asashvatam. Even if we want to live here amid miseries, material nature will not allow us to do so. It will oblige us to change bodies and enter another atmosphere full of miserable conditions. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Tatra cha kvachid atapodakani bhang visayam upadabati panabhojana yavayadhi vyasana lo lupa. So this is the statement from the Bhagavatam, is so blunt, whereby again we are being given the information that it is a phantasmagoria, it is like illusion, thinking that one can be happy in this material world. We can be given all the material facilities one can be availed of, and still the jivas or the living entities cannot be happy. It cannot be fully satisfied. As Prabhupada mentions many times, that our main disease is that we have forgotten Krishna. I was reading a section from a conversation. I will read it to you. This is very interesting. It's like a conversation between Srila Prabhupada and his disciples. One, because this is his daily activities, he will go for japa walk, and along with his disciples there'll be a conversation, and sometimes Prabhupada will pose himself as the protagonist. He's the one who will ask the question. But the question he will ask is to give also a lesson and instructions towards his disciples who will reply to him. So Prabhupada, one day, he posed himself as an atheist. Yes. So he says, by pleasing the spiritual master, you please Krishna. That's nice. But why should Krishna be pleased? Why should one bother himself to please Krishna? Answer this. So now he's asking his disciples. One disciple says, because this is our real position, to serve Krishna. We are falling into the illusion of this material energy because we forgot our position as His servants. And Prabhupada replies, we are making scientific progress. What is the use of bringing God in? Yes, this is the reasoning of the materialist. Especially the topmost materialists are nowadays the scientists who manipulates the material energy for their own purpose, especially for their sense enjoyment. So many things is being invented, so many things are being produced to facilitate material comforts for everyone to have. But in spite of this, still, they are not happy. So why bring also God within? Because as a scientist, they don't believe in God. The materialists, they believe that they themselves are the master of all they survey. So the disciple replied, because we shall never become perfect if we don't serve God. That is begging the question, Prabhupada replies. Then disciple says, everybody has to serve somebody. Since Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure and everything emanates from Him, instead of serving some ordinary person, we should serve Krishna. And that's true. We are all His servants. Gopi, Bhartu, Padakamalayur, Dasa, 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 Anudas. Our main purpose is to serve the Supreme Master because that is our natural tendency, eternal position. Krishna is a supreme enjoyer, is a supreme master. So if we please Him, then we also get benefited. We get benefited. Ultimately, our philosophy is that if we serve the Supreme, then we also become pleased. It's like the servant's main function or main duty is to serve the Supreme Master. And when he sees by his efforts or trying to please the master and the master become pleased or happy, then within also the servants, they will be happy. They'll be pleased by their efforts to try to serve the master. So it is like that for us also. We're fragmental parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, and therefore our duty is to serve Him. Then Srila Prabhupada replies, but without serving Krishna, I am getting pleasure by drinking wine. Why shall I serve Him? And then the disciple replies, that pleasure will not last. It is only temporary. Just like here in the translation, that the animals, they in the desert, they see there's some kind of mirage where, because in the desert it's so hot, then if you don't have water to drink, then you're gonna die. And then in the mirage, out of illusion also, sometimes because of the reflection of the sun to the sand, then it will create some illusion that there is a body of water. And then the animal will run after that. Keep running, 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 running. But he'll not be able to reach that end of mirage because the reflection is just keep on going, going. And there's no really water in the desert. Very rare, which you called an oasis. But mostly in the desert, there is no water. There is drought. So hot. That definitely if you don't have water, then you will die. So, yes, the conditioned souls are like this. They try to enjoy. There is this Charvaka Muni. His philosophy is, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. It doesn't matter anyway. You just enjoy. This is the philosophy of the hedonists, the sense enjoyers. Statement that he says also, beg, borrow, or steal, get ghee. Because ghee is a liquid, like a liquid gold. With ghee, you can cook many, many palatable dishes, and you'll be able to enjoy your taste buds. The Prabhupada says, if you cook nicely with the use of ghee, then you will forget eating meat, the taste of meat. So ghee is very, very special for especially sense enjoyments, enjoyers, especially in India. They have different kinds of ghee. Try to enjoy the eating propensity, or for that matter, also the intoxication. It's like here in India, along the highways, you can find liquor stores. Even here in Vrindavan. But somehow they ban alcohol within 10-mile radius of Krishna Janmabhoomi, the birthplace of Lord Krishna in Mathura. But why not ban the whole Vrindavan or Mathura area? Why not only in that within 10-mile radius? Which means here, even in Vrindavan town, they're also selling liquors, wine. And this is the holy dam. They try some or other. They pay for the license to the government, and the government would like to have, you know, get that spoiling the life of the citizens, what to speak of, in the holy dam, and sinful activities. If it's performed, then it's multiplied so much more also. To perform bhakti in the holy dam, there is perform one, the performer, he receives so much benefits. But if one commits sinful activities for sense enjoyment, to fulfill one's tongue, belly, and genitals, as Prabhupada says here also, the translation, even sex life, vyabhaya, pana, bhojana, and vyabhaya. People are addicted, not just in the West, anywhere in the world. Maya can be present in these different items. Just like when Parikshit Maharaj, he witnessed that this black-bodied personality who was beating up bull, the Dharma, personification of Dharma, in three legs, is already broken, only one leg is remaining. And he says, oh, you cannot stay in my kingdom, you have to go where there is women, the exploitation of women, and there is gold. You stay there. But then that was like 5,000 years ago, but nowadays, everywhere this is prevalent. Everywhere. Because they find some sense enjoyment, but they cannot really fulfill satisfaction for the living beings. It doesn't matter, especially in human form of life, which is meant to understand the nature or goal of life. It is not possible. An example was given, just like a fish out of the water. We're like fish, and we're brought up outside of the water. So you can facilitate the fish unlimited facilities, unlimited sense enjoyment, but the fish will still not be satisfied because he's not in the properly situated where he belongs. He belongs to the water. So similarly, Prabhupada mentions in the purport, there are two worlds, the spiritual and the material world. Actually, we are minorities here in the material world. Where Prabhupada says in one of the purports that we're like less than 10% of the entire living beings. In the material world, less than 10% of the entire living beings, the created living beings. either their human form of life, animal form of life, or plant form of life, or insects, mammals, birds, reptiles, and so on, plants, trees. More than 90% of the living beings are in this spiritual world. They are full of knowledge, having full of knowledge, bliss, and eternity. Very, very happy, satisfied by serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here in the material world, we are slaves of our senses. That's why we are not happy. If we serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if we understand that I cannot be happy by enjoying myself, I can only be happy by always remembering Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then I can be fully happy, as the disciple was saying. But Prabhupada is not still happy with that answer. That pleasure is temporary, this drinking wine or eating meat or having sex just to fulfill one's desires, lusty desires. Then Prabhupada continues, but I also will not last, so I am enjoying wine while I can. That's true. We will not last also, because this is the nature of the material world, dukalayam asasvatam. Now we go back again to the purport, where it says, yeah, this, all of these propensities that we have, these are animalistic propensities. We try to find peace within the desert of material life. The material world is compared to also a desert, and also compared to a forest. Like comparing a desert, because it's dry, completely dry. You cannot find juice, you cannot find nectar. People are frustrated. Why is it that still rich people, there was a survey done, there was a university in America, one of the most prestigious universities in the world, if not in America. And the students there, they are, you know, they're brought up. They were born with a silver spoon in their mouths. That means they're like in the upper middle class family. And that university, they found that so many are committing suicide, frustrated. Especially there is a tower where they jump off from that tower. So what they did is that they put net around the tower so that if they jump, they'll be like caught by that net to prevent them from falling, to save them. So why? Why is it like that? That they're still unhappy, they're frustrated. They cannot really feel satisfaction in this world. Again, because our original habitat is in the spiritual world, which is, according to the Sastra, is 3/4 of the entire kingdom of God. The kingdom of God composes or comprises both the material and spiritual worlds. But then, just to give a crude example, isn't it? It's like 75% and 25%. But still, we've heard a description whereby the spiritual world, just like you can see in my background here, that is the spiritual world. And the material world is just like one dot in the corner in the spiritual world. Our planet is just like one of the planets, practically unlimited planets in our universe, which is the smallest universe. And there is only our Lord Brahma has 4 heads, because our universe, which is 4 billion miles in diameter, is the smallest. So our universe is smallest, and then there is like practically unlimited universes in this material world. As Prabhupada gave an example, it's like one mustard seed, where our universe is just like one mustard seed in a bag full of mustard seeds, practically unimaginable. So, because why? There is no happiness here. And Prabhupada mentions in the purport, we want to attain pleasure here, but it's not possible. We're not allowed to do so. We're not allowed, because the Bhagavad Gita says, Lord Krishna says, that the material world is not only full of miseries, but also temporary, asashvatam. And that was quoted. Let me see if I can get that quote. Yeah, it was quoted from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, text 15. Yes, we'll go back to that. Mam upetya punarjanma dukhalayam asaspatam napnubanti mahatmana samsidim paramangata. After attaining me, the great souls, mahatma, who are yogis in devotion, never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection. So it's just not this material world is full of miseries. More, it is also temporary. Abrahma bhubana loka punar avartino Arjuna. From the topmost living being, Lord Brahma, to the most insignificant living entity, Indragopa, like an insect, very small. This place is a place of death. There is
unknown caller.
There is this uncertainty that we don't know when are we going to die, and this makes us fearful all the time. In the material world, there is birth, death, old age, and disease.
Unknown caller.
And in the spiritual world, there is no birth, death, old age, and disease. Life is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. That is the difference. The main difference, the most fearful, is that at the time of death. Because the soul is eternal, but the body will cease after some time. It's like a machine. When the machine is too old, the machine will just stop. No, you cannot do anything about it. That is the nature of this world, because it is temporary. Not just full of miseries, but mostly it is temporary. The temporary nature of this world. Why is it temporary? That is the nature. Even Lord Brahma himself, who lives for 311 trillion years, is one day is 8.6 billion years, 4.3 billion his day, and 4.3 billion years his night. And he lives for 100 years. So that is 311 trillion years, our time. His time, 100 years. And all of us only live also relatively 100 years. This is like the typical lifespan of human form, 100 years. And even Lord Krishna, when he left this world, wound up his pastimes, he was 125 years old. But Lord Brahma's 100 years is 311 trillion years of our time. Now there are some insects also who will take birth at night time, and then when the sun rises, they will die. So that is their 100 years as well. That is their 100 years. So everyone has this lifespan. But who lives for 100 years these days? maybe our parents, 85, it's like my mother, she's 85 years old, or her parents live like maybe 90s. Luckily, the present, especially the way we live, the way we waste our energies, the matter, the food that we eat, our lifestyles, nowadays, in the future, especially, it says, if one reaches 35 years old, he's considered as old. Well, hopefully, in our, you know, like our generation, hopefully we'll live also 75, 80 years old to serve more Krishna. We want to live longer to serve Krishna. But the materialists, they want to live longer to enjoy their senses. But they become frustrated. They cannot do it. Because there will be a time that it will be cut off. And that is the most fearful moment. When are they going to die? And that is also the most amazing thing in this world. When Dharmaraj asked Yudhisthir Maharaj, what is the most amazing thing in this world? And Yudhisthir Maharaj, being very, very wise and intelligent, he says, the most amazing thing in this world is that you've seen your parents died, you've seen your relatives died, you've seen your forefathers died, you've seen your friends died, but you never think that you're going to die. How many of us, when as soon as we wake up, that we're thinking this could be my last day? How many of us? Not many. Very few. So the Bhagavatam says that one should think that this could be his last moment. This could be his last day. If we think like that, then we will become more serious in our practice of bhakti. That we will somehow or other will do our very best to give the service that we're offering to the Supreme Lord wholeheartedly, with full love and devotion. But for the materialists, as soon as they wake up, they're going to think about, you know, sense enjoyment immediately. They're going to plan their whole day how to so-called be happy. They never think that they're going to die. Of course, there's no difference between when the devotees die, there's no difference, because when they die, they just continue on with whatever they're doing with their day-to-day activities, serving Lord Krishna. Never stops, just continue on. This is the nature of bhakti. So we have real problems in life. And what is our real problems in life? Birth, death, old age, and disease. This is the nature of this world. As soon as one takes birth, one dies. As soon as take birth, old age, we want to remain as young as possible. This is the nature of the soul. But we cannot do it in this body. This body is full of ignorance. It's full of miseries. And temporary. So yes, we should prepare for death. But the devotee is always ready. It doesn't matter where, if he dies, definitely the existence that he will attain in next life, even though, let's say, he's not able to perfect his life, it'll be on a higher plane, on a different level of consciousness, because it says in the Bhagavad Gita that there is no diminution, there is no loss in this endeavor. Whatever we have started, whatever we have finished in this lifetime, we will continue on. This is the process of bhakti. Unlike the materialists, they perform and they struggle so hard to attain which is unattainable, to be really happy in this world, but that they cannot do. Ultimately, Prabhupada, when he received that reply that yes, Krishna has to be served. Krishna has to be, because we're part and parcels of the Supreme Lord, just like different parts of the body, you have to feed the stomach. And he gave that analogy where there was a strike. He says, the hands are thinking, why am I always have to feed the mouth so that, you know, it'll be digested? Okay, we go for the strike. We're not gonna eat. We're not gonna taste. We're not gonna do all of these things. But then, definitely, it is not. Because it says in the Bhagavatam that we are just like the limbs of the body, and that Krishna is like the stomach. All the limbs may be jealous of the stomach and not want to feed the stomach. But if the hands and legs and mouth were to go on strike and not feed the stomach, they would ultimately be destroyed. And Prabhupada says, this is the right answer. Every limb of the body must cooperate with the stomach. If the finger thinks I shall remain independent and be happy, that is not possible. The stomach must be supplied food, and then all the other parts of the body will be happy. Similarly, Krishna is the central enjoyer. Bhaktaram yagyatapasam sarvaloka maesvaram suridam sarvabhutanam gyatamam santim richate. We have to understand that Krishna is Bhaktaram. He is the supreme enjoyer. Sarvaloka Mahesvaram. He is the proprietor of all the planetary systems. Suridam Sarvabhutanam. He is the friend of everyone. Bhaktaram Yagyatapasam. Yes, he is the enjoyer of all the sacrifices. Sarvaloka Mahesvaram. He is the proprietor of all the planetary systems, and he is the friend of one, of everyone. Surit. There is three: Bandhu, Mitra, and Surit. These are all the meaning of this. They're all friends. Bandhu. You must have heard of that. Dina Bandhu, Mitra, Mitra Sen. But then Surit is more closer, more intimate. And Krishna is the friend of everyone. He doesn't want anyone to suffer. What's his wishes and wanted us to be is not to be in a suffering condition. But we disregard that. We set aside and avoid the instructions coming from the Paramatma, because again our senses are fully uncontrolled. He hasn't got to be educated, says here. He is a center of everyone's activities, just as this African state, this was in Nairobi, is a center of people's activities here. If you do not satisfy the state or the president, then you cannot remain happy. Independently, you cannot be happy. For example, we have come to this park because the state is maintaining it. We have not gone to the jungle. So if we actually want happiness, we must cooperate with the state. Similarly, if our ultimate aim is to become happy, then we must cooperate with Krishna. This is obligatory. You cannot escape. If you try, you'll be unhappy. Siranganu. Okay? So, the whole problem here is that we do not want to serve Krishna. And that's why we are suffering. This is the whole world. But then, if we become educated, if we understand that this is the process through the mercy of the devotees of the Supreme Lord, then we'll be able to understand how to mitigate our miseries and sufferings. that even if you're in the material world, you are also in Vaikuntha. What the materialists are trying to do is they just want to patch up things temporarily. Temporarily trying to ease the headache. But this will not. This is not bliss. This is not real happiness. This is temporary happiness. We want a permanent solution to this. And the only permanent solution is through Krishna consciousness. There's no other way. Otherwise, we have to change our body, birth after birth, and still trying to find a solution in this miserable world. So, again, when we take one step towards Lord Krishna, Lord Krishna takes 10 steps towards us. He's more eager for us to go back home, back to Godhead, than we do. But we are so foolish, like the deer in the desert, trying to reach that which is unreachable, because he's chasing the mirage in the desert, which is illusion. We're very fortunate somehow or other Srila Prabhupada gave us this opportunity to us to perfect our life in this lifetime. So we should take advantage of this as much as possible. Be sincere, especially again in this month of Kartik and every day of our life. I was just reading the other day that these pastimes of the Supreme Lord of Damodar Lila should not be just in this month to be remembered. It should be remembered 365 days in the whole year, every day. Because in this way, we'll be able to attract Lord Krishna within our hearts. Hare Krishna. I'll stop here now. If there is no question or no comments, you may feel free to make comments or question. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for such a wonderful class, Maharaj. You have told all the facts, actually. Thank you for such a beautiful class. Devotees, if anyone has any question, please. Vinita Mataji, please go ahead, Mataji. Vinita Mataji.
Vinita, unmute. Unmute your... Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam. What a beautiful class, Maharaj. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class. Maharaj, while you are talking about Brahma, you were telling that he has four heads because he was from so much miles far away. Can you please elaborate on that? Why Brahma has four heads?
Well, he has four heads because he has four heads. He is the smallest Brahma, so to speak. He needs four heads to manage our universe, which is not so big compared to other universes. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there was a story. Lord Brahma, our Lord Brahma, one day, he wanted to have darshan of Lord Krishna in Dwarka. And then when he came in, the chokidars, the guards, asked him, "Whose Brahma are you?" Well, Lord Brahma was thinking, "Whose Brahma am I? Are there any more Brahmas than me?" So, yes, then he went, he was allowed inside. And then when he went inside, he saw one Lord Brahma has 100 heads, another Brahma has 1,000 heads, another Brahma has 10,000 heads. And there, the room, Lord Krishna has a big reception room. So many, many Lord Brahma is managing different universes, bigger than our Lord Brahma. So they have more heads. And then when Lord Krishna gave his darshan, he appeared, then everyone fell down to the ground, offered their dandabats. You know what's dandabat? Dandabha is like falling like a stick. Dandabha. With your limbs, all of your limbs in the body.
And the sound of the helmets and the crowns of all these Lord Brahmas emanates like a very nice tinkling sounds. Huh? So now Lord Brahma became he became humbled. He became humbled now because he's thinking, oh, I thought I'm the only Lord Brahma. So our Lord Brahma is the predominating deity in the modes of Raja, passion. He is the second creator. He's like the engineer of our universe. He's the one who provides our body, the different, your eyes, your nose, your ears, your tongue. But he's not the ultimate creator. Just like an engineer, he has, he knows how to make the plan. All right, he makes the plan, but the ingredients to construct, to have that plan realized, is not coming from him. It's coming from Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu, who glanced our universe. In each and every universe, there is a Garbhodakasayi Vishnu. And then ultimately, there is one Mahavishnu who created the entire material world. Was I able to answer your question? Unmute
yes,
yourself.
Yes, Maharaj. I could understand. There are many, many Brahmas, and this universe has four-headed Brahma. I understood, Maharaj. Thank you so much. And the way the class was started was very nice, Maharaj. You were describing how Prabhupada was having the conversation with his disciples.
Yeah.
The way you connected to the purport was so wonderful, so wonderful. The class went, Maharaj. Thank you so much for making us understand so nicely. This material world is, you know, the Kalaya Masashvatam, which
right.
I just surrender.
Yeah.
Yes.
Somehow
Maharaj.
I was reading it this morning, so I copied it and put it into my notes. Then I read it to you directly, words from Prabhupada. Yes. Any other points? Comments?
Hare Krishna, are there any other devotees having any questions or comments for Maharaj? Please go ahead.
Don't be shy.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my beloved senses. Thank you so much, Maharaj. Very, very wonderful class. Very nice points you said. And Damodar Leela is not supposed to be done only.
Now you remember the other thing. Not only in 1 month.
Yeah.
You know where this came from? This is from the Sanyas Guru of Srila Prabhupada. Who is the Sanyas Guru of Srila Prabhupada?
Forgot.
Bhakti Pragya Keshava Swami Maharaj. His god brother. Right? Both of them are disciples of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Now, he translated the works of the Goswamis also, especially Sanatan Goswami's the explanation of the Damodara Stakam. And he says there that yes, we should not think that only should be only meditated only in Damodar month, but throughout the whole year, because this pastime is so sweet. Krishna likes more that he is being chastised by his devotee. Where can you find this? Where can you find this understanding about God?
Yeah.
Huh? He's more happy when devotees chastise him, just like Mother Yasoda or Nanda Maharaj. Because this is the way how he wants his devotees to be reciprocated. And we should
meditate. It says that throughout the whole month, we should read the meaning of this and also study throughout the whole year, every day. Isn't that amazing? And Prabhupada says also, Brahma Samhita, you know, the hymns of Lord Brahma, it should also be a part of our daily function. Prabhupada says that in the purport. It should be part of our daily function. But if you're so busy, at least chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as much as you can. This is additional information for you. Okay? Anything
else?
Thank you,
Maharaj. Thank you, Maharaj.
Yes, thank you. Any other points? Hare Krishna. Hare Rama.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. I have one more question. So in okay. The translation, while you are speaking translation and purport, you are telling that Prabhupada's purpose is so straightforward. So if new devotees are reading these books, and when they are seeing these straightforward answers, like, you know, we should not worship demigod or we should not do this, the sense gratification is not good. So how do we, like, you know, initially itself they are reading these things, and how do we make them understand? Means they should not even get scared also, right? Initially only if you hear this kind of thing. So how do we make them to make them understand our philosophy in a simple way when they hear these kind of statements which are very straightforward?
Well, we have to somehow relate to them that if you water the root of the tree, then all the branches, the twigs, the leaves, all the parts of the tree will get nourished. So these different demigods are actually are agents of the Supreme Lord. So if you pleases the master of all of these servants of the Supreme Lord, the different demigods, then there is no need to separately worship them. Because worship actually is only meant for Lord Krishna. Bhajan. When we say bhajan or bhajate, worship, this is only meant for Krishna. Others are, we may say, respect. We respect all the demigods, but we acknowledge the demigods are more pleased when we acknowledge that Krishna, who is their master, is the only one that is meant to be served. Straightforward, direct. You just let them know this. If they don't want to accept, what can you do? But this is Ekala Isvara Krishna Ara Sarva Britaya. Krishna is the only master and everyone is his servants. So what more can be straightforward than that one? Huh? Is that okay?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you so much for the sweet answer. Thank you, Maharaj.
Yes. Anybody else? Haribol?
Maharaj, there are some comments in the chat box. I would like to read them for you. Tiffany Mataji says, Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so very much for a beautiful class. And Induleka Karuna Mataji says, Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for such a wonderful class. Straight to the point on how this material world is. Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam Dandavat Pranams.
We should always remember this. Then in this way, we will only be able to get out of this material world. As soon as we think that a little bit of sense enjoyment will not harm, then it'll be difficult for us to get out of this material world. But for the devotees, we're only enjoying. Prabhupada says, our philosophy is only enjoying. Our process is only enjoying. As soon as we wake up early in the morning, we're already enjoying. We're going jumping up and down during Mangalartik time. And then during the whole day, it's the same thing. Isn't it? The materialists, they will take so many artificial means to so-called enjoy, but they're not really enjoying, they're suffering.
They're patch up, as we mentioned, you know, patch up work, patch up remedy. No, we're finding a complete and final solution for all of our problems. Okay?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Pranam.
Oh, it says here, how to deal with someone who knows they'll die but don't really have any worry about it. How to deal with someone who knows they'll die but don't really have any worry about it. For the devotees, as I mentioned, we should not worry. We should be more serious. But, of course, we all know we're going to die. We only have 7 days to live. Either Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday or Sunday. You have 7 days to live, like Parikshit Maharaj. Any one of those days, we may live our bodies. Right? Huh? Either Monday, Tuesday, no. Nothing outside of that. 7 days. Okay?
Right. Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Very beautiful class. Maharaj, my question was more about how to deal with someone who is not on this path. And when we say these things, they understand that they will die, but
okay,
they're not, I guess, maybe ignorant about it, or they don't care. I don't understand.
You don't care. Well, it's fine. You don't care. You should care.
So how can we try to convince them or help them understand that they shouldn't live such a way?
The main thing is you have to tell them, are you happy? You ask them. Okay, if they say, are you happy? They may say, I am happy. But I have a better happiness than what you have right now. Now, what I'm going to propose to you, this kind of happiness you cannot find outside, is within. And you should try it. I give it a chance. Let's say for 21 days, you chant the holy name of the Lord. 21 days, okay? Mm-hmm. Not 1 day or 2 days. Because you see, 21 days means after that, it becomes a habit.
Mm-hmm.
They will just keep on going and going and going. And they will understand it. They will feel it. So, ours is only a proposal. You take it or you live it.
Mm-hmm.
What do I gain if I propose this to you? You try it. Okay? And let me know what happens after 21 days. Get back to me. If you don't want to take it, that's fine also. But my proposal is always open for you to follow. You can bring the horse to the water, but you cannot force the horse to drink the water. Krishna consciousness, you cannot force. This is gonna happen out of one's own voluntarily. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you cannot force anyone to be Krishna conscious. But Prabhupada says, you can only propose. Don't break your head. Don't break your head if the other person doesn't want to take to Krishna consciousness. But you should give the opportunity, you should give the chance whenever you can to anyone, to anybody to take up the process. This is your duty. Once your duty is done, and Krishna, within their hearts, Paramatma, will also take up the process, then the credit goes to you. If you can make one devotee, Mega, you'll go back home, back to Godhead.
Hari Bol.
This is for everyone.
I'm just an instrument, Maharaj. Yes.
That's right. You're an instrument for that other person to become Krishna conscious. He will take you to go back home, back to Godhead, if that person becomes a devotee.
Please bless me, Maharaj.
This is what happened with Dhruva Maharaj, with his mother, Suniti. Right? He told Dhruva Maharaj, you can find Lord Narayan, Lord Vishnu in the forest. He went to the forest, he had darshan of the Supreme Lord. Right? When Dhruva Maharaj was about to go back home, back to Godhead, says, I want to take my mother. She became instrumental for me to become Krishna conscious. Not just for you, Mega, this is for everyone. If you can make one devotee in your lifetime, that is your perfection. All of you. You can only propose. Please take it. With all humility, please take it for your own well-being. This is our message. Okay? This is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. You ask them, please take a book. You beg them, please take a book. You read it when you have a free time. And let Prabhupada do the rest. Try your best and Krishna will do the rest.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes. Thank you so much, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
All right. Shall we end up here now? If there is no more question.
If there are no more questions, we can end the call. Thank you very much, Maharaj, for your very, very enlightening class today. And we are very grateful to you. We look forward for your association again in the future. Let's pay our obeisances to Maharaj and devotees. Vansha Kalpa Karu Vashcha Kripa Sampe Vacha Kripa Naam Pavane Vashcha Namo Namah Grantrat Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Jai His Holiness Bhakti Anugraha
Hare Krishna
Jai
Have a nice week.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Are you in Vrindavan, Maharaj?
Physically, I am in Vrindavan. I don't know. I don't know where I am. Trying to be mentally also, spiritually. You can be in Vrindavan, but at